This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for that we can just bring these points to you, Lord, Father, the church locally, the nation, Lord, Father, and also, just all the Shofar churches as well, that we can just bring it before you, Lord, Father, and trust that you have your way for all these points. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, John. Awesome. Welcome to church. I know you've been welcomed already. Isn't God so good just with all the rain we've been having? Even though it's not continuous, but at least once a week. It's so awesome. And it's good to see everyone. For those of you that are new, please come to Connect. It would be awesome just to meet you. And we're going to go straight into the Word. I see Mr. Pandey's back after a while, so we're going to get some feedback from the front here. Cool. Anyway, I've called my message today, Keep on Walking. And it's really just a message based on Corinthians 13, verse 13. The slides. Okay, we'll sort out the slides later. But Corinthians 1 Corinthians 13, 13, which says that, and now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these being love. I just want to take the next couple of minutes and really just look at the different aspects, or the faith, hope, and love, and really just go into a bit more detail regarding that. And so we'll start off with faith, and if you're making notes, you can write down the first point. I said that faith starts the journey. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is, and that is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6 points to the fact that we have to have faith in order to please God. And that you can sort of break it down into you can break faith down into two aspects there. And the first being believing that he is. So believing what the Bible says and who the Bible says God is and everything about him. And the second being believing that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you split those two up, those sort of combine to sort of make faith, or what faith is. The word believe, it's a Greek word, and my notes are not coming up, but it's I'm not sure what the pronunciation is, but it's pistio or something. But it literally means this. It means to trust in, have faith in, be fully convinced of, acknowledge, rely on. Pistio also means more than just a credence to church doctrine or articles about faith. It expresses a reliance upon and a personal trust that produces obedience. It includes submission and also positive confession of the lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's what that believe means, believing, to believe in him. Therefore, believing who he is must mean the following. It must mean that we're fully convinced that he is the one true God, and that we also acknowledge that everything he says is the truth, whether this be easy to accept or whether it be difficult to accept because of what the world tells us. So if what God says is difficult to accept because of the way the world is going, which is not in the same direction as God's word, we must be willing to accept that. We live in a time where now more than ever, we see the two deviating, where the word of God is going one way and the world is going further from the truth. And so it's really just in this that this sort of splitting up where our faith really gets tested. Awesome. Thanks, Braden. Cool. Where our faith gets tested and where you're going to have to decide which way you're going to follow. Are you going to follow God's truth and his word? Or are you going to follow what the world says? And you might not be liked very much following God's truth. Because some of the things are really difficult in this world. Some of these truths are so opposite to what the world, where the world is going, that you might face some challenges. But pastor also means that having personal trust in him, which leads us to obeying what he says. That's the key to following Jesus, obeying what he says. Obeying the truth, which sort of sets us free. The Bible talks about that. And finally, believing what he says means to submit and also to confess Jesus as Lord of your life. And so, if we look at Hebrews 6 again, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's really now the second part that I want to focus on. The rewarder of those who diligently seek him. My question then is, what is the reward for seeking him? We must be mindful of not creating a belief where our expectation of reward relates to things and not what it actually says. Where seeking him becomes a means of obtaining things as opposed to what it says. And when those things don't materialize, then we get offended with God. Not realizing that what you seek, when you find it, is the very treasure and not something else. We're not seeking God for other things. We're seeking him, it says. So when you find him, you get him. You don't get other things. Seeking him doesn't mean that we obtain the same things as the world is pursuing. No, it means that he's the treasure. That he's everything you need. We read in the word that he's the provider. He's the healer. He helps us in our battles. He's our peace. Our shepherd. He guides us. He's our righteousness. And he's always present. So my question then is, but how does faith come about? The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, it says that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So it's really in hearing the word of God and really accepting that and taking it. That's where the more you get to know about the word of God, the more we get to see God in his word and who he is, that's what leads to our faith. It's by hearing him, hearing about him. In Romans 5, chapters 1, or Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, we read about faith being, or that faith is what justifies us. And we'll just read that verse. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So hope doesn't disappoint. Are the notes up? Okay, cool. Awesome. Which brings me to my second point. So we've kind of looked at faith. We said that faith is believing who God is, and also believing that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that it's not about things, but about seeking him and receiving him. Now we go into hope. My second point, I've called it, hope keeps us walking. Who would agree that hope is always directed towards outcome or result? For example, if you are going to run a race, you might hope to finish the race within a certain time or position. But the chance of that happening, there is a chance of that you might not finish within that time or position. So our understanding of hope is therefore this. It says that even though we desire a certain outcome, part of us realizes that there's a chance that that desired outcome is not going to be realized. And so that is kind of our understanding of hope. And when we, I suppose when we read the Bible, we take a worldly understanding of hope and apply it to reading the Bible, which then, so there's a chance that things aren't going to be well, or, you know, that what the Bible says maybe is not, you know, God's not going to come through. That's when it speaks about hope. However, we're reading the Word of God, and often we are challenged, I think, when we read it, of the understanding of hope. For Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 5, it's the last part of that scripture that we read before. Verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint." Hope doesn't disappoint. That's not what we are understanding of hope normally, is it? We always think of it as a chance that the end result might not be what we think or what we desired. But here it says in the Word of God that hope doesn't disappoint. And the reason for that is because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So having faith in God, meaning that you are a child of God, what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 9, 8 to 9, it says that for by grace you have been saved through faith. So your salvation is through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not the works, lest anyone should boast. Therefore, having faith in God and being a child of God, hope will never end in disappointment. It says it in the Bible. Or otherwise stated, we have a certainty that the outcome will be good, no matter what, when you are a child of God. If you're in the world, maybe that doesn't apply. Probably doesn't. So when the world faces tribulation and the chance of a good outcome seems to be decreasing, what happens? Hopelessness increases. Because as we all know that as we see something is not looking so positive anymore, the worse it gets, the more hopelessness arises in us. But praise God that this is not for the children of God. For when tribulation increases, our hope increases because of God. We see in verse 3 of Romans 5, "And not only that, but the glory of, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation." That's pretty hectic if you think about it. Do we really glory in tribulation? Or do we complain? Or do we question God? Now the Word says that we ought to glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So we will see that we glory in tribulation, but what's the end result? It's hope. That's where it stops. Hope increases. Therefore, as children of God in this world, when tribulation increases, our hope should increase, knowing that God never fails, that God will come through, and that He will never disappoint us. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, He says that, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For your sake we are killed all day long, and are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other thing created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ." So why will hope never disappoint? Because the love of God. So Romans 5, Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we can go through life knowing that even when tribulation comes, when we go through a struggle, even if the struggle gets worse, our hope just seems to get more, because God will come through. Brings me to point number three. We said that faith starts the journey. We said that hope keeps us walking. And finally, point three is, love is the way we walk. What do I mean by this? We start our journey off with faith. Faith in who God is. That's where salvation happens. Hope keeps us walking. So as we start our journey over here, salvation happens. Then we start going through life. And it's not what the world says life is, or what Christianity sort of these days seem to. Sometimes you hear that, you know, you get saved and then life is going to be an amazing life. Like, you're not going to face any more challenges. We're just going to get things added. God's just going to bless you with all things and all of that. And then the first trial comes along. And you say, God, where are you? Are you real? So the journey starts with faith in God. The walk is where hope happens. That's trusting God. But hope keeps us walking. But love is the way in which we walk. Andrew spoke about it, I think it was last week or the week before. He was speaking about the scripture, 1 John 4. He sort of did the whole thing, but I'll just point out verses 11 and 12, which says the following. It says that, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So we are told to love one another, and that God's love is perfected in us when we do so. That this is the way the world sees God's love. So we ought to walk in love. We ought to love one another. This is what God says. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. We don't get to choose when we want to love somebody or that difficult person that we have in our life. You got to still love them. It's a choice. Love is a choice. It's not because you are nice to me and that I will love you. No, love is a choice that we take. So what is love? We know in Corinthians 13, it says that, I'm going to read the whole sort of chapter of 13. It's Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. It explains what love is. Because you see, like, you can ask anyone and you'll get many different sort of ways they define love. Because they've all experienced love in a different way. They all were told, I love you. And however that person treated them, that is the experience of love, or how they define love. But we just said that for children of God, we follow in God's word. So we ought to go to the definition of the way God defined love. And so let's look at that. This is in Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. That's harsh words, if you think about it, but it's good. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he starts defining what love is. From verse 4, he says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's sacrificial. It's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is your definition of love, not what the world has told you. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. For we know in part, but we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. For now we see in the mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. And then what the whole message is based on. I now abide faith, hope, love. These three, love being the greatest. So as we walk on our journey, walk in love. Love one another. God has said love one another. And in this way, the world will get to experience what true love is. Love according to this definition. Not according to what the world has sold love to be. The world has cheapened love. The world has created a love that's all about self. But God's love is sacrificial. It's a choice. It's not conditional. So in this, I will just call the band up. Yeah, I don't do long messages like Andres. Anyway. In closing, I really just want to make these points to remember. And that is, number one, that we don't put faith in faith. What I mean by this is that if you put faith in faith, this will only leave you questioning whether you didn't have enough faith when whatever you had faith for doesn't come to pass. So don't put faith in faith. That's the one thing. Don't put out faith for something. We don't have faith for something. That doesn't make sense. We don't have faith for something, and when that thing doesn't come to pass, then we get offended with God. God, I want that job. I have faith for it. You've often heard people say that. I have faith for that job. And yes, there's nothing too wrong to desire that job. But the moment that job doesn't come through, people are like, God, where are you? I trusted you for that job. And even worse, then they start questioning, or you even get people that say it, oh, you didn't have enough faith. As if they've got a faith measuring device. So how much faith did you have to have? Like, how much faith? If you say I didn't have enough faith, what is the level of faith I must have? Is it a 10? Is it a 20? On what scale? No. We only have faith in one thing. And it's faith in God. Knowing that He knows us. He's created us. He's purposed us. He's got a plan for us. And that He knows what's best for us. So we have faith in a God that is for us, that loves us. And that we know that He's our provider. He's our peace. He's our shepherd. He's our righteousness. That He will lead us to where we should go. That He directs our lives. That He knows you need provision. But maybe that job wasn't in His plan. Maybe He's got something better. Maybe He's even provided something better already. Sometimes we go in this life and we sort of have this expectation of what our life should be, or we have this expectation of the things we should have. And we get so sidetracked and we sort of say that, God, this is what it should look like. And not just resting in God, having faith in who He is, that He will come through, that He's got a plan, and that He will never fail you and never disappoint you. From hope, as a child of God, you always have certainty of a good outcome. no matter how deep the struggle, no matter how bad it gets, there's always hope. Because God loves you. If we look at the definition of love, sorry. This is not in my notes, but I think sometimes why we struggle with faith and hope is because of our definition of love. Because God says to trust Him. But how do you do that if you haven't experienced His love? When your definition... I'm sorry, I'm going to get it back together now. Just, I'm going to keep it together. Just think of something else. Okay, cool. It's back. All right. Okay. I'm back together. Cool. How do you trust a God? How do you have faith in a God? And how do you have hope in a God? When He says He loves you, but your definition of love has been defined by the world. How do you love a father when your earthly father has abused you? How can you trust a God when your definition of love is tainted by your experience of what people who said they loved you, treated you? So, understand that God's love is different. And that we ought to love like He loves. And if He is in you, that's the only way you're going to love like that. Because He changes you. And when you experience His love, you can't but love people. When He's in you, you can't but have this sacrificial love. I don't know what's going on today, but anyway. So three things to remember today. The journey starts with faith. Faith in God, who He is, and that is a rewarder of those who seek Him. That hope never disappoints. That we can go through this life always having hope. And even if it gets dark, there's still hope. Even if this life doesn't really work out the way you thought it would, He still defeated death. We're just passing through. Whatever happens here, our hope is in going back to Him one day. This world doesn't really matter. You can build your empire here. It's all going to go to waste anyway. So, even if it gets dark here and you suffer here, our hope is in heaven one day. And we're going there as children of God. But while you're here, while you're on that journey, there are people that don't know this love, that don't know this God. So while you're on your journey, walk in this love and share it, that they may see God through you, that they might experience God through you. And so that's kind of where it ends today. But I want to pray for two groups of people. So you can all shut your eyes. Like, that's cool. I want to pray for the first group of people. People that I've accepted God as their personal Lord and Savior. But have let the world's circumstances make them become hopeless. I'm here to tell you today that there's always hope in God. That it never disappoints. That He never disappoints. So if that's you and you've lost hope because of your circumstances, I just want you to shoot up your hand. We're going to pray for you. I don't care how hopeless you seem to be now, we're going to pray that God just raises up His hope in you, that He just fills you with His love, because it's His love that gives you certainty of who He is. So if that's you, all the eyes are closed, just shoot up your hand. Thank you so much. We'll pray for you. Thank you. Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Cool. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, Lord, Father. Father, I pray for these people that are your children, Lord, that have become hopeless. Father, I declare, Lord, today that you will never fail them, Lord, Father. Father, that you are hope, that you will never disappoint, Lord, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love. I just pray for that you just pour love into their lives, Lord, Father. That they will have certainty of who you are, Lord, Father. And that your love will just be such a confirmation that you will never disappoint them. Never disappoint them. So we just thank you for that. I just pray for hope just to rise in them now, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. Just let your Spirit touch them, Lord, Father. Right now, Lord, Father. The second group of people that I want to pray for, it's those people that haven't chosen yet to trust God. That aren't children of God yet. That haven't taken that step into knowing this God and who He is. That if you died today, you wouldn't know where you spend eternity. And that also are hopeless. But that don't have the God yet that gives us hope and gives us love. So I just want to pray for those people. If you're here today and you've never given your life to God, would you just shoot up your hand? Today's your day. Don't care about other people. Don't care about what they think or anything. This is between you and God. If there's anyone, all the eyes are closed. You can just put up your hand quickly and put it down again. Cool. Anyone? Cool, awesome. I trust you, all children then. So I'll just pray in general. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord. And I thank you that we can just come before you, Lord, Father. Father, that you are mighty to save, Lord, Father. Father, that you give us hope, Lord, Father. Father, that we can trust you, Lord, Father. That you love us. That you've defined love and not the world, Lord, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are just the greatest Father there is. And we can just trust you with everything. That we can surrender our lives and not have fear, Lord, Father. Because your love just casts out fear, Lord, Father. So we just thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I just pray a blessing of everyone here. Father, I just pray that you'll just pour in your love this week. That you'll just become so tangible to everyone, Lord, Father. Father, I just pray, Lord, that the love will just flow out of each person here, Lord, Father. That the world will see who you are through us, who are children of God, Lord, Father. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. We're going to have a song. And then after the song, we are going to dismiss. There's great coffee. And come to the worship evening tonight. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.